You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
And the top. If you have been paying attention to the community that we live in, as well as society as a whole, you could conclude that we are living in a time where people are serious and specific about how they want to be identified. People take how they choose to be identified very serious, and they're specific about it. I mean, you think about it. We live in a time now where people want you to change your pronouns on how you identify them. He, him, her, them, they, shim. I mean, it's just a number of different identifiers in our day and time. How many can see that by a show of hands? Even when it comes to race, black, African American, Negro, just a number of different identifiers. But I have found that it is important to make sure that we know and uphold biblical identifiers as it pertains to our life. Young people, it is important to know and understand how we should identify ourselves as it pertains to God's word. My and your identity is found in God's word. If I'm right, somebody shout, he right. Now, when you look at our verse on this morning, the psalmist has two identifiers that are very relative and important to our generation. Two identifiers in the text. We not only need to see it in the psalmist, but we need to apply these identifiers to our own life. Number one, if you notice here in Psalm 86 and 2, the psalmist clearly says, I am holy. I'm holy. As a child of God, likewise, we need to identify with being holy. Somebody say, I am holy. That's what the Bible says. To be holy has a number of meanings, but I just want to give you two that we're going to work with on this morning. Number one, a person that is holy is a saint. They have a godly lifestyle. It's a person that has repented of their sins. And according to the scripture, they have made Jesus their Lord and Savior. Being holy is a process. Though you give your life to the Lord on Sunday, and God has changed your spirit, now it's up to the individual to make their lifestyle a representation of that choice they made on Sunday. So now my lifestyle, my conduct needs to be holy. That don't mean I'm a lame. That don't mean that I'm born. It just means I need to be godly. I need to be godly in how I think, godly in how I talk, godly in how I act. Every aspect of my life, I need to remember that now that I am a child of God, I need to be holy. Paul said, young people, before Christ come back, in the last days, you will see a lot of people being unholy. So we need young folk to take pride in being who God has chosen them to be. If you are a child of God and you ain't ashamed of it, go ahead and shout to the top of your lungs, say, I am. I'm holy. And you just don't need to talk about being holy in the church. You need to take it to the school when you leave the church. You need to take it to your job and don't be ashamed to let folk know, I am godly. I'm living according to God's written and revealed word. Number two, when a person is holy, it means that you put to shame certain things. You put to shame certain things. You have the mindset, no, I can't touch that. I won't touch that. You put that to shame. You don't let folk put you to shame for doing what's right. You got to learn how to put things to shame that don't line up to God's word. See, you'll go through a phase, young folk, where sometimes you'll feel intimidated by certain folk, but you got to grow up. You got to grow up. You got to mature to the point to where you're confident in who God made you to be. And when you're feeling pressure, when temptation is coming your way, you got to remember who you are and you got to learn how to put to shame that which is evil. You got to learn how to put to shame the works of darkness. You got to learn how to put to shame what can take you straight to hell. You got to learn how to live holy. Look at somebody and say, I'm holy. Yeah, I'm godly, and there's just certain things I put to shame. You got to let folk know, look, I used to do that, but I don't do it no more. Well, why you don't do it no more? Jesus done came into my life. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You got to let folk know, I used to smoke, but I don't smoke no more. I used to hoe, but I don't hoe no more. I am putting that to shame. And see, what done happened to the church, sadly, is that some folk are not putting to shame stuff that they should be putting to shame. Some saints have started embracing things that they should be rejecting. Look at somebody and say, when you're holy, you got to put certain things to shame. That's right. You got to let folk know, no, that ain't going to play around here. That's not going down around here. Oh, I ain't getting too much help, but I know I'm right. I know I'm telling the truth. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Deuteronomy 14. See, you can't hide and be a Christian. The Bible, young folks, said you have to let your light so shine. You got to get your shine on. You got to let folk know where you stand and what you believe. Old folks say you don't go along just to get along. You need to take pride in being and identifying as a saint or as being holy. Deuteronomy 14 and 12. Deuteronomy 14, 12. Notice, scripture says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. 14 and 2. I'm sorry. Y'all still with me? All right. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Notice, I'm a special people. There's supposed to be a difference between me and folks who don't have a relationship with God. He has chosen me to be his people. And so you take pride in that in the church and outside of the church. Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20 and 26. The Bible says, "And you shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord," or "for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." Holy folk, if you notice in both of these verses, it's not about other people. It's about what the Lord wants. I'm living a certain lifestyle because that's what my God wants. And he wants me to be separate or different from other people. You've got to remember that. And when I carry myself in such a way, the Lord says, "You mine. That's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter." And how many know God take care of his folk? Always remember, young people, look at the entire picture of a thing. Don't just look at one part. Man, living how God wants you to live, it really takes something. Yes, it's going to take something. But also look at the benefits of being holy. Don't just look at the discipline of being holy. Also look at the benefits. There are benefits to being holy. There are benefits to belonging to God. And you got to understand, everybody doesn't belong to God. You hear some people say, "We all God's children," not according to the Bible. Holy folk, according to these two verses, are the ones that belong to the Lord. Amen. Let me deal with this some more. Benefits of being holy. Number one, according to our verse, in Psalm 86 and 2, the psalmist says, "Preserve my life, for I am holy. Preserve my life, for I am holy." When you live a holy life as a young person, a godly life, a life according to the Bible, you're going to suffer persecution. But understand, God will preserve you. When a person is preserved, young people, they're divinely protected. God is keeping watch out for you. He's guarding you. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You belong to the Lord. Holy folk that belong to God got divine shelter. Divine shelter. Can't nothing happen to you unless God allow it. You don't live by luck. No, you understand. You holy, and so God is preserving your life. When God preserves you, young folk, he makes sure that you're productive or successful. He makes sure that your needs and your desires are met. You may go through some things in life. Matter of fact, you will go through some things in life. You will go through things in your body, in your mind, in your family, in your finances, but you're holy. So God is still going to take care of you. God is still going to make sure that the promises of God unfold in your life. I'm holy, so I got some divine shelter. God is looking out for me. Even when it seems like or feels like nothing is going right in my life, I have to remember who I am and what my God promised. He is looking out for his folk. Job 1 and 10. I don't know if you've ever read it, but Job was a holy man, young people. The Bible says he was upright. He was a wealthy man. He was a blessed man. But then one day the Lord allowed Satan to touch his life. He allowed Satan to attack him. And so when God was allowing Satan to do it, they were having a conversation before it went down. And I want you to notice what it says here in Job 1 and 10. Y'all still with me? Look at this conversation between Satan and God about a holy man named Job. Job 1 and 10. Have you not made a hedge around him? Look at this. Around his household, around all that he has on every side. That's Satan saying, look, you done gave this man divine shelter. He got a hedge of protection around him, around his household, and everything that he has. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. See, God divinely protects holy folk. So much so that Satan knew it. But it's sad when you don't know it. You got to know, when I'm living right, God is divinely protecting me. It don't matter what's happening on the left, on the right, as long as I am in the will of God, he is protecting me and my stuff. And if something goes down in my life, it's because the Lord has allowed it. Boy, that's a benefit. I said, that's a benefit when God is protecting you and your stuff. That's why I am encouraged to live right. That's why I am encouraged to be holy. Because can't nobody protect you like God. That's that real top flight security. Can't nobody protect you like God. Satan couldn't even touch him until God allowed. Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us, observe all these statutes to fear the Lord, our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. You know what this says, young folk? As long as I do the word, God is keeping me alive. He's preserving me. He's making sure that I'm good. Look at the text. For our good always. If I just live right, it's all going to work out for my good. He's going to preserve me. The bill going to get paid. The disease is going to be healed. The job is coming. The scholarship is coming. As long as I just stay in God's will and live right, it's going to work out together for my good. And you got to get that in your spirit as a young person. Living right has benefits. Divine shelter. He'll make sure that I'm good in every aspect of my life. And we serve a God that'll do some unexpected things. I said, when you're living right, God will do some unexpected things. He'll make sure that you not only get what you desire, but he's able to do, young people, exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can ask or think. Man, we in a season of bigger and better, and I'm telling you, ever since the Lord told us if we just stay in his will, he's going to do some unexpected things. Ever since that word came down last week, I've been experiencing some unexpected things in my life. And it's just not for the pastor. It's for everybody in the house that's living according to his will. Look at somebody and say, you need to expect some unexpected things. Young folk, do you see the text? Living holy has benefits. benefits. Tell somebody, living holy has benefits. That's why you train your children to live right once you start having children, because it's beneficial. That's why when you and your spouse are at odds, you want to make sure you get it right so you can keep that flow coming in the relationship. You want to make sure that you're in the right place so you can be in the position to get and have whatever it is God wants you to have. Living holy takes discipline, but it's also some benefits. Benefit number one, divine shelter. Are y'all still in the house with me? Divine shelter. Benefit number two, young folk, is a divine source. In our text of Psalm 86 and 2, he says, preserve my life. He says, for I am holy. Then he says, you are my God. You are my God. The psalmist knew who his source was. He knew where his help came from. He knew where his blessings came from, young folk. As a child of God, you got to know who your source is. He says, you are my God. God in the text, young people, comes from a word, Elohim. Somebody say Elohim. Elohim is the mighty one, the supreme one, the one who controls it all, the one who can do anything. More than a degree from college, more than a high-paying job, more than a cute face, more than a tight waist. He can do anything. I'm talking about Elohim, the one who is in control, the one who can't be stopped. You are my God. You've got to know, as a child of God, as a saint, who your real source is. Who is the one that's going to cause you to have life and have it more abundantly? Who is the one that can open a door that no man can shut? Who is the one that can shut a door that no man can open? Your God. My God. I like how personal he is. He said, you are my God. I know my divine source. When you know your source, young folk, you are in a great position. I'm not going to go there, but write down Psalm 103, verses 3 through 5. David talks about his source in such a way, a detailed way, to where he basically says everything he needs, everything he has, it came and comes from God. I know you go to school. I know you want to try to get a good job. I know you want to try to start your own business. But look, all of it comes from our source. It comes from God. Now, there's some things you can try to make happen on your own, but you're not going to get it in a way that God has prescribed if you're not connected to Him. Somebody say, you are my God. He knew who his divine source was. Over there in Psalm 103, young people, verse 3 through 5, David talks about, look, when I sin, he forgives me. When I get a disease or get sick, he heals me. He talks about when I get into trouble or face destruction, he redeems me. He talked about how, you know what, when I need to prosper, he's the one who crowns me with righteousness. He knew his source. What's messed up is we live in a day and time where many young people don't know that God should be their source. They depend on so many different other idols that will not save them. When you get to a point to where you are totally hooked on something or somebody and you feel like you can't live without them, you got the wrong source. I said, you have the wrong source. Look at how the enemy does so many young people. Try to get them hooked on something. Give them a false idol. An unreliable God. That's not your source. People are not your source. David identified, God, you are my source. Everything I need, it comes specifically from you. And listen, young people, when you have that mindset, it should encourage you or compel you to want to be led by the Spirit. Lord, you my source, so if you tell me to go right, I'm going to go right. If you tell me to be still, I'm going to be still. If you tell me to go ask for some help, I'm going to go ask for some help. You're my source. Not just in church things, but in every aspect of life. We was out this past week, and I saw something that I wanted. And I said, man, I really want it. I like this. I tried it on, and I really liked it. Matter of fact, I said, Lord, I really like this. And I looked at the price and I said, but I don't like the price. I said, I like it, but I don't like the price. Y'all ever been there before? But instead of putting it back and just leaving discouraged, I knew who my source was. And so I said, well, Lord, what can I do, Lord? And the Lord told me right there in the middle of this public place what to do. And so he told me, he said, look and see who makes that and look it up on the internet and see what they charge. I did it right there. I said, man, it's 50% cheaper here online. I said, but Lord, I want it now. I can't wait no three, four days for no delivery. What can I do? Right there, the Holy Spirit said, go ask that salesperson. Can she give it to you at this price? And guess what I did? I went and asked the specific salesperson that he told me, and I asked. I said, you know what? And I went confidently, and my wife was right there. I said, look, I like this, but they got it for this price. Can y'all do something so I can leave here with it today? That salesperson looked me right in the face and said, you know what? I can do that. We do that, but most people don't know it. I didn't know it, but my God knew it. And so hold on. Then she hit me with, let me call my manager. I said, here we go. But I said, well, Lord, this is what you told me to do. Called the manager. The manager came down and said, oh, yeah, go ahead and do what you got to do. Walked out of there with it at a price that I wanted it, because that's what the Spirit of God led me to do. Amen. See, it's not just a church thing. You got to know who your source is. You got to know who your source is for everything, whether it's something you need or something you desire. He said, you are my God. You are my source. And that's the mindset you have to have in life. Lord, you hear what they're saying. What do I need to do? Lord, you see how I'm feeling. What do I need to do? You're my source. You're my source. You are my supply. Look at somebody and say, God is our source. And so you need to be led by him in everything that you do. Proverb writer said it like this, young people. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. So the first way he identifies himself in our verse is being holy. And we see two benefits from being holy. Divine shelter and a divine what? Source. How many are getting it? By a show of hands. How many are getting it? In my clothes, he closes out the verse by identifying himself as a servant. The verse says, save your servant. A servant, young people, is a worshiper. Someone who's devoted to God. And we know when it comes to worship, God is looking for those who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm your servant. And I say this often, but it's biblical. You're going to serve somebody or something. Well, I don't serve no. You're going to serve somebody, whether it be sin, yourself, or somebody else. And Jesus said, look, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. He told one group of people, young folk, you can't have two masters. You can't serve God and mammon or money. You can't have two masters. You got to pick one because you're going to love one and hate the other. So you're going to serve somebody. You're going to be somebody's slave. You're going to have a master. Somebody is going to be a master to you. Somebody or something. Since I'm going to serve somebody, I best serve the Lord. I believe that's the best master to have. But you are going to serve somebody, young people. You need to make sure that you don't serve weed, sex, alcohol, yourself, Satan. The best one to serve is God. That's the best master to have. And when you serve God, a great definition is from Ephesians 6 and 6. Y'all still with me? A person who serves God, according to Paul, is someone who does the will of God from the heart. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. If he want me to sit here and receive the word just for 50 minutes, I'm going to receive that word and apply it to my life. That's what my master want me to do. If he want me to put this phone down and give him my attention just for 1 hour, that's what my master want me to do. I'm going to do that. Amen. But see, when you don't serve the Lord and he put something on the table like that, we're going to see, or he going to see who you really serve, because you're going to be loyal to who you serve. You're going to be loyal to who you serve. Be up in church, sleep, you serving yourself. Up in church playing, you on something else. But it's about serving God with all your heart. With all your heart. Giving God your best. In all that you do in the church, come on, young folk, and outside the church. I'm doing his will from my heart, my thinking, my talking, and my acting. And what the writer says here in the text is, he said, look, I need you to save me, your servant, he said, for I trust in you. As I close, young people, one trait that a servant has, according to the verse, is they trust in their God. They're dependent on him. I'm depending on my God for salvation. I'm relying on him. Some of you right now, there's some important things that you need to happen in your life. If you are God's servant, you need to trust him for your salvation. There are just certain things you need to happen in your personal life. Right now, God wants you to be dependent on him. Not on the job, not on yourself, not on your spouse. It's time for you to depend on God. You got to have the mindset, if this is going to happen, he going to have to do it. And when he does it, it's going to be his way and not my way. I'm depending on you for my salvation. If I'm going to get this job, you're going to have to do it. If I'm going to get my heart's desire, you're going to have to do it. If I'm going to be elevated or promoted, you're going to have to do it. Lord, if my life is going to end up being better, I'm depending on you. Young folk, you got to depend on God or be God dependent as a servant. In every aspect of your life. Lord, if I'm going to get over this hurt, Lord, I need you to help me. And he's going to tell you, look, well, you got to lay aside certain things first. You lay that aside, and then I'll help you. Whatever he tells you to do, you got to depend on him that it works. Somebody shout, we got to depend on God. That's what a servant does. They rely on their master. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Save me, your servant, because I trust in you. I'm depending on you to cause this thing or these things to work out in my favor. I'm depending on you. Save, God. Deliver. Protect. Make free. How we say it, Lord, have your way in my life. And as a young person, you need to be known as someone who serves God and trusts him. Amen. I said, you need to be known as a young person that serves God and trusts him. You need to be known as being God dependent. And we see this in Daniel 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king, a sinner, he knew from looking at these boys' life, man, they were God dependent. These young folk were relying on their God. So much so, he said, blessed be the God in Daniel 3:28 of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who sent his angel and delivered, look at this, his servants who did what? Trusted in him. When you trust in God, folk going to be able to see it in your life. Yes. Folk should be able to see that you are God dependent. Amen. I'm trusting in him. And that's what the Lord wants from us, young people. He don't want us to trust in our jobs. He don't want us to trust in people. He wants us to trust in him. Yes. And sadly, many young people, the main person they put the most trust in is themselves. But you and I, we are limited. You can only do so much. When are you going to get to the point to where you say, Lord, I'm just going to depend or trust. I'm going to trust you. How do you trust God? When that word comes forth, you hear it and then you put it in the action. And that's showing and demonstrating to God, Lord, I trust you. I'm just going to depend on you. You want me to pray? I'm just going to pray and depend on you. You want me to put the money on the altar and trust you for Luke 6:38? I'm just going to do it and depend on you. You want me to speak that I'm healed even though I'm hurting? Well, I'm going to use my mouth to speak life even though I'm hurting, and I'm just going to depend on you. I'm going to put the application in to the school. I'm going to put the application in to the job, and I'm going to say that it's well, and I'm just going to depend on you. Lord, if I'm going to get off of these drugs, if I'm going to quit hoeing, I'm just going to depend on you. I'm going to stop going around who you told me to go around, and I'm just going to depend on you to make me free. I'm just going to depend on you. You'd be surprised on what some of us in here are facing and dealing with. But the only way you're going to come out according to the scripture the right way is to trust him. You got to depend on him, young folk. And when you're not praying, you're not living holy, that's a sign you're not depending on God. But with a lesson like this, a teaching like this, it ought to be clear on what it is you need to do. And if you depend on him, God is going to do everything that he promised in his word. Somebody shout, he right about it. And I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.